Critics have called Joy Harjo the first lady of American Indian poetry, but Joy is more than just a poet. She's an author, a musician, and a playwright, and a native of Oklahoma and a member of the Muscogee Nation. Joy was featured in the Visiting Writers Series at UNC Asheville last night. She'll be reading at the Asheville Word Fest tomorrow, and she's with me in the studio now. Joy Harjo, welcome to the State of Things.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here with you.
Great to be here. What about this? Let me ask you about that statement, the first lady, and this is the quote, the first lady of American Indian poetry. How do you feel about that?
Well, I wouldn't call myself first lady of first lady of anything. I just do what I do and try to take care of what was given to me to do.
Your poetry has, in my opinion, and I love it, it is this intersection of literature, Western modern literature, not modernist, and also traditional heritage. Is that something that you do consciously, or is it just find its way into your work?
I think it just is. Yeah. You know, like the way Philip Roth wrote his, you know, mm-hmm. he doesn't think about, as a Jewish, right, he doesn't think about his Jewishness, and my Muscogee-ness is really just part of who I am. It's not a self-conscious act.
Let's get a sample right off the bat. Would you read for us maybe Rabbit Is Up to Tricks?
Yes, and I want to preface that with Rabbit is the Muscogee Creek trickster figure. And trickster figures are like clowns and they counter those who are holding power or negotiating power. And of course, we know that power has tremendous possibility for either way, for good or evil. And too many of the people who hold power make the mistake of thinking it belongs to them it belongs to them. But in many of our traditional governments, including in Europe and African and Native, we have clowns, jesters, or griots to make sure to temper that power and to counter pomposity. Well, in our country right now, we're dealing with, it's kind of reversed, so we're having trouble because we have a trickster sitting in the seat of power. Anyway, in a world long before this one, there was enough for everyone until somebody got out of line. We heard it was Rabbit fooling around with clay in the wind. Everybody was tired of his tricks, and no one would play with him, and he was lonely in this world. So Rabbit thought to make a person. And when he blew into the mouth of that crude figure to see what would happen, the clay man stood up. Rabbit showed the clay man how to steal a chicken. The clay man obeyed. Then Rabbit showed him how to steal corn. The clay man obeyed. Then he showed him how to steal someone else's wife, and that clay man obeyed. Rabbit felt important and powerful, and clay man felt important and powerful, and once that clay man started, he could not stop. Once he took that chicken, he wanted all the chickens. Once he took that corn, he wanted all the corn. And once he took that wife, well, he wanted all the wives. He was insatiable. Then he had a taste of gold. He wanted all the gold. Then it was land or anything else he saw. His wanting only made him want more. Soon it was countries, then it was trade. The wanting infected the earth. We lost track of the purpose and reason for life. We began to forget our songs. We forgot our stories. We could no longer see or hear our ancestors or talk with each other across the kitchen table. Forests were being mowed down all over the world, and Rabbit had no place to play. Rabbit's trick had backfired. Rabbit tried to call the clay man back, but when that clay man wouldn't listen, Rabbit realized he'd made a clay man with no ears.
Joy Harjo reading Rabbit Is Up to Tricks from her latest collection of poems called Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings. She's going to read tomorrow at the Asheville Word Fest at Lenore Ryan University at the Lenore Ryan University Asheville Center. Wonderful poem. What was the inspiration for that? Was there a particular, you know, you talked about what's going on today, and maybe Washington. I don't know if that's what you're referring to, maybe.
Maybe.
But you wrote yes. the poem before that. So what was the inspiration?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
You know, I don't always know. Yeah, sometimes things will just come, and it's an accumulation because I'm always reading and researching. I don't think a lot of people realize that poets often do there's a lot of research involved. Sometimes it's not just about getting a cool little inspiration and then you jot it down and there it is.
What kind of research did you do for this one, the poem, or for this volume?
Well, always history. Mm-hmm. I'm the person in my family who knows who is related to who, historical, how we're connected here and there, and so I'm working on it's called a historical memoir now, and memory, it's about memory. Well, how can you have historical memory? We all have historical memory in our bodies and in our DNA. I've always said that the DNA spiral is really a spiral of stories. So I just go through and
they are spirals. They're not linear. They take twists and turns, and then every time you think you've got it figured out, there's a rabbit who will upend you, right?
That's right, yes, that's right.
Can I get you to read another poem for us?
Yes, this one is called Equinox, and it's about, I travel a lot, and it's people, I always want to say thank you to the people who take me here and there. They pick me up, and I'm in a strange place. And I was standing there at sundown, and that's a ceremonial point for all of us, humans, animals, the plants, and the sun is leaving, and it's a good time to let things go. If we lay down our burdens and let them go, we would have less anxiety. We might have fewer heart problems and maybe fewer back problems if we let things go. And this was about standing and waiting to be picked up and letting things go. I must keep from breaking into the story by force. If I do, I will find a war club in my hand and the smoke of grief staggering toward the sun, your nation dead beside you. I keep walking away, though it has been an eternity. And from each drop of blood springs up sons and daughters and trees, a mountain of sorrows, of songs. I tell you this from the dusk of a small city in the north, not far from the birthplace of cars and industry. Geese are returning to mate, and crocuses have broken through the frozen earth. Soon they will come for me, and I will make my stand before the jury of destiny. Yes, I will answer in the clatter of the new world. I have broken my addiction to war and desire. Yes, I will reply. I have buried the dead and made songs of the blood, the marrow.
Joy Harjo reading Equinox from her latest collection of poems, Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings. I have just about 30 seconds left, but I want to ask you this. And when you talked about DNA and stories being in us, you're using a form that is not DNA. It is a technology, right? This form of writing that isn't what we know in our hearts and in our souls. How do you make that translation? Is that like a sort of an extrusion for you?
No, because poetry is an oral art. Even if it is written down in words and put in, you know, symbols, it is still, even stories, even novels go back, it's storytelling. That's the root of all of our cultures.
Great stuff. Joy, what a pleasure to meet you.
Very nice to meet you too.
Joy Harjo is the author of 8 books of poetry, her most recent collection, Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings, also a musician, an author, and a playwright. She's going to be reading her work tomorrow at Asheville WordFest at Lenore Ryan University Asheville Center. And you can find out more about her work at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, the music of Lita Lyric Jones. Stay tuned.
Focus on us.